Acts chapter 28. Acts 28. You found your place. Stand for reading of God's Word this morning. I'm glad my sins are under the blood this morning. I'm glad they're further than the depths of the sea, further than the east and is from the west. I'm glad they're under the blood and they're gone today. Amen. Acts chapter 28, beginning with verse 1, the Bible says, "And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said unto them among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.' And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." Lord, we sure do thank you again for the opportunity to be here today. Lord, I pray that you'd help us for just a little bit. We thank that these is taking time out of their busy lives, Lord, to come to the house of God. Lord, we thank you for the privilege we have to come and worship today, Lord, and I pray we never take it for granted, Lord, that we do have this privilege in this United States that we live in. Lord, and all the bad things that's going on, we still have freedom, Lord, to worship and gather together on a Sunday morning to worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us for just a little bit. Thank you for the songs that's been sung. Lord, I pray that you'd help us for just a little bit. Now, anoint us afresh. Give us liberty. Give us right words to say. Have your way, and we'll be careful to praise you and give you the glory for all that you're doing. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you can be seated. I'm going to preach a thought that I probably preached from before. I'm pretty sure I preached this message one time before here, but I tried to get away from it this morning. The Lord just seemed to lay it on my heart, and I want to preach for just a little bit, the Lord being my helper. We got some new people anyway that wasn't here probably when I preached this back yonder, and I preached it a little different. Every time you preach a message, it comes out different. So it'll be okay, and you pray for us this morning. The Lord's will be done. And I believe we're in dire need of the subject that I'm going to preach on this morning, the need of fire. The need of fire. I tell you what, I'm tired of dead religious services. I want to go where the fire of God is, where the power of God's moving, where people are being saved, where people are getting help, where people are paying attention and changing their life, listening to the voice of God and trying to follow the will of God. We look around today and we see a lot of different churches, different ways that people conduct their services, and it's different everywhere, and that's okay. Every church is autonomous, every church is indigenous. And every crowd's going to be different. But I'm going to tell you, that don't take away the fact that we all need the fire of God in our lives. And you've seen that signs in the mountains when you go up through North Carolina and different places from time to time. And the picture of Smokey the Bear that says, "Only you can prevent forest fires." And we go to great extremes to warn people a lot of times of the danger of fires. Fires can destroy and devastate. We've seen the news out in California and different places where the wildfires take place and people's homes are burned up and it just devastates their lives. But on the other hand, controlled burns benefit our natural resources. If you're a hunter, you know that to be true. And we go down to Piedmont National Wildlife Refuge, and we hunt down there, and the foresters look manicured. And I mean, a lot of times they'll have those burns, and they'll burn out that old undergrowth, and then you go back, and there'll be fresh stuff coming up. But it provides our wildlife with more to eat, and it benefits the trees in their growth, and it brings forth new growth under there that's beneficial to everyone as a conservation need goes. But it kills all the undergrowth that shades the sunlight from producing better growth that benefits rather than hinders the right kind of growth. And that's the same way in your life. And I believe when we get the fire of God in our lives and in our churches, I believe we'll see the benefit of the fire of God in our hearts and in our homes and in everything that we do. We need the fire of God in our lives and our churches. We need to fuel the fire in one another. We need the encouragement, and we need someone that can relate to also. And then we need to see that fire warms us up when we're cold. Debbie mentioned she was cold this morning, and some of my sin probably went outside to get a little warmth from the sun that's shining and to get warmed up a little bit. But fire warms us up when we're cold, and fire awakes us when we feel the warmth from the flames on a cold morning. Fire cheers us when we see the flame dancing and lighting up the darkness around us. We need the fire of God to fall upon our churches and our homes this morning. As we look around, sin abounds on every hand, and we need God to stir us up and to fill us with His presence and power. We need the fire this morning like never before in the history of mankind. As we look around, if we don't get the fire of God in our lives and in our churches are going to die. In this cold, calloused world that we're living in, the Bible plainly tells us in the latter days that the love of many would wax cold. And we need the fire of God in our hearts and in our lives to warm us up and that we might affect those that are around us. Because I'll tell you, fire affects. And we need that fire of God this morning. But we see here in this story of the Apostle Paul, we know that what's taken place in the prior chapter. They were on the sea, and Paul had warned them about what was going to take place. But they wouldn't listen to the Apostle Paul, and they got in a great storm when they should have stayed and wintered there at the place where they were at. And the captain of the ship, he proceeded to carry them on the journey. He thought everything was going to be okay. But we find that they got in a shipwreck, and they landed on this little island of Melita, which is the modern day of Malta today. And evidently what Paul got bit with was a very poisonous snake, because those natives there that was on the island, the people that lived there, we find that they looked at him and thought, this guy's going to die. I mean, he done got bit by this poisonous snake, and he's probably a murderer or something. He's going to fall down. And when he didn't, they changed their mind about him. You know, people are fickle like that. We see and think things sometimes, and it won't be but a minute. We'll change our mind. People are ever changing their mind. Same way with these people. They had come up with a conclusion about the Apostle Paul at the very beginning, and then they changed their mind that he was a god instead of a murderer or something. But we look at this passage of Scripture, and I believe we can pull some spiritual truths this morning that will help us in our own lives, that maybe we could get fired up. We need to get fired up around here at Open Door Baptist Church. Just because there's a few of us, that don't mean we can't be fired up and get stirred up for God and get prayed up and get to the point and place where God can use us. I appreciate the message Brother Mike Soup preached on Wednesday night and the encouragement that I received. You know, we think just because we don't have a big crowd sometimes God ain't going to move. But sometimes God chooses to use a small crowd that He might get us stirred up and we might get us on fire and we might get busy for the Lord. But we see here the reason for the fire here in verse 2. Said, "And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and perceived it. Received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold." So we find a bunch of wet men here that got shipwrecked. They've made their way to shore on boards, and no doubt it was a cold winter night here or a fall night, and they had gotten wet, and they were wet. They were weary, no doubt, from being out there in the ocean. And you know how water will drain you. I mean, water can really drain you if you stay in it too long and you get cold and your hands get numb, your lips turn blue. And no doubt there was a lot of blue lips here around this fire as they began to build the fire. So we see the reason for the fire. They were wet, weary, and scared. And we look around today and we see all the things that's going on.
And if we're not careful, we'll get weary and we'll get scared. And we might look around and think, well, where's God? Why ain't God doing anything? Well, we need to just look at ourselves. Look in the mirror and see, where are we at spiritually in our life? And not allow the weariness and the being scared of the things that's going on. And maybe we ain't sensed God's presence in our life in a long time. That'll scare us sometimes when we look around and we think, where's God? Well, let me say this morning, God's in the same place He's always been. He's seated on the throne in heaven, and He's there. He's done promised us in His Word. He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. I'm glad if you're saved this morning, the Holy Spirit of God is living in you. And if you're not sensing His presence, it could be God might be putting you through a test. He might be, or another thing could be that we may be grieving the Holy Spirit in our lives. Maybe some sin or some problem in our heart that's hindering us from feeling in the presence of God. But we see the reason for the fire here. They were wet and they were weary and they were scared. And I believe that we as believers this morning here at Open Door Baptist Church, hey, we might get weary in the journey, but we ought not never get weary of the journey. Just because people's quitting, because people's going their own way, hey, we ought not get scared that God's not around. He's still here. He's still wanting to bless us, I believe, with all my heart this morning. But we see today, why do we need the fire of God? The reason for the fire in our own life is because, number one, I believe the permissiveness of this society. I believe the permissiveness of this society we've lived to see, when people are allowing things in their life where we've got so used to different things. Brother Darrell was teaching about a drunkenness this morning in the Sunday school class. And I believe we've got so used to the alcohol. We've got so used to seeing it in our stores, our grocery stores, we've got complacent with it. We don't think there's nothing wrong with it. And I believe the church is let down in a lot of these areas. They're trying to explain that we have liberty today because we're under grace and not under law. Well, the Bible's still the same. That passage over in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1 still there. Wine is a mocker, strong drinks a raging, whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I don't care what this bunch of liberal preachers said. It's still wrong for young people to drink. And we've seen a society that's got permissive in it today. And parents will sit down, they'll have a drink with their children. I know of families back when I was a younger boy and that I grew up with, and they had their sons and they would sit down at the tables in the restaurants, and I've heard that they would have a beer with their own sons. And then later on, I heard of the story of how this young man was drunk one night driving, and he had a wreck and killed someone. Can I say it's still wrong? Hey, your son or your daughter shouldn't ever work at a bar. Hey, your son or your daughter shouldn't ever be serving drinks to others. If you're saved by the grace of God, let me tell you this morning, there's a woe unto the man that puts the bottle to his neighbor's lips. And I want to go on record to saying this morning that drinking is wrong. A dram drinker, Brother Sammy Allen used to say, a dram drinker is just as much kin to a drunk as those little piglets is to a sow hog. And I believe that. I don't believe you can be a dram drinker and be right with God. I don't think you can have wine and beer and liquor in your refrigerator and you be where you need to be with God, because the Bible condemns it. It's against it. The Bible says over there, be not drunk on wine, where is an excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit of God. You're controlled by that substance that's in your life. Drugs, we see drugs. It's permissive today. I mean, we're legalizing marijuana. When I was a boy, I promise you, the laws was that if you got caught with marijuana, they was going to put you under the jail. You wasn't going to never get out. And then they sort of started downplaying it. It wasn't such a bad thing. Now it's probably a misdemeanor if you get caught with less than an ounce of marijuana on your possession. And back yonder when I was growing up, hey, they was going to lock you up, throw away the key, and you wasn't going to get out. And they tried to put the fear of God in people, but yet we've got so used to this, we've got such a permissive society today that these things are okay. It's okay. I talked to a young lady here a while back about working in a bar. And, you know, she claims to be a Christian. She goes, she's off at college and she goes to church. You know, she won't miss church. She was dating a Baptist preacher's son about to get married. But yet, they don't see nothing wrong with drinking. They don't see nothing wrong with alcohol. And her mom told my wife, said, I talked pretty rough to her because I told her, I said, I want to talk to her if she comes down here today. And well, she said, well, she comes down here, I figured it just meant to be. So the young lady, very pretty, polite young lady, she come down there. And I began to talk to her about her job. I said, you need to get you another job. If you're a Christian, you need to get you another job. You don't need to be in a bar serving all them rogues that's coming in there. And I talked to her just straight. I didn't talk rough. I didn't think I talked too rough because I just told her the truth, Miss Leslie. I tell your kids the same thing. We ain't got no business dabbling around and stuff like that, but we're living in a permissive society that has crept into the churches. Deacons that's got beer and wine in their refrigerator, and I promise you there's a lot of them today. It's always been wrong, and it'll always be wrong. Drugs is wrong, and they're just and alcohol just as wrong as drug. It's a drug. And I'm going to preach against it if it hardly helps the devil. The permissiveness of this society. Not only the permissiveness of this society, but the pervertedness of this society. Hey, parents, let me tell you, if your kids are shacking up, I said, if your kids are shacking up, you shouldn't let them live in your house. If you're right with God, you shouldn't let them live in your house. I don't care what the situation might be. It's wrong. Fornication is wrong. And when you're allowing it under your roof, you're condoning it. Yet we've got to the point in play, the pervertedness of society. Hey, people don't see nothing wrong with sexual relationships out of wedlock. We need to teach our kids to be pure. And I don't know no other way to get it across, Brother Mitch, than just be plain. I don't know no other way. Because you beat around the bush, people don't get a clue. I beat around the bush about a lot of things and people ain't got a clue yet. You think you'll be nice and tiptoe through the tulips? Well, it don't work. They think people, most of the time they ain't even paying no attention. But if they are paying attention, they don't get a clue. We're shallow. We're shallow because we've allowed all these things. The permissiveness, the reason for the fire. Hey, we need the fire of God here in Open Door Baptist Church. Hey, we need the fire of God in our lives today because of the permissiveness and the pervertedness of society. Fire awakens. Fire awakens people. I promise you, if we got the fire of God in our lives and in our homes, we'd see things that would be different. We need the reason for the fire. Hey, they were cold. They were wet. They were scared. Hey, I've never seen people so scared today about what's going to take place. No use being scared. Hey, God's in control. We just need the fire of God in our lives where we can face those situations that's coming our way head on and not run from it. The reason for the fire. I don't know how I preached this message last time I preached it, but I promise you it's different. Probably I had some wood up here and I built a fire. So we see, not only we see the reason for the fire, but we see the responsibility for the fire. There in verse 2 said, "And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold." Everyone is responsible for the fire. Hey, those barbarous people, they got involved in helping gather wood and get the fire going. And then look, And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, here the great apostle Paul, he was cold and he was wet and he was weary from the swim that he'd had in the ocean there. Yet when he got on shore, he got busy gathering sticks for the fire. And I assume by the apostle Paul, I believe he set the example. I probably, all those guys was cold and they were wanting to get warm and they probably were all involved, I would say. I would have been gathering sticks. I'd been wanting me a fire going. But everyone is responsible for the fire. If you're a member of Open Door Baptist Church, hey, you're responsible for the fire. If you're a teenager, you're responsible to help in getting the fire going. We need teenagers that's got the fire of God in their lives. Hey, that they're affecting those that they're around. Instead of hobnobbing with the world and being just like they are and doing the same things they're doing, they need to be a difference. I preach on separation. I believe the Bible says, come out among the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord. I believe we ought to be different from the world. I believe we ought to act different. I believe we ought to talk different. I believe we ought to walk right and spit white. We ought to be different. People need to see the fire of God in our lives. The Bible says, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And then He said, let us run the race that's set before us. I believe everybody's got weights. Have you ever tried to run with weights on? I see people exercising a lot of times. I used to see them walking up down the road. I used to see this. Debbie's seen the guy. He's a big, muscular guy, and he walks up and down the road. Well, he used to have a sidekick that run with him. She's a big old muscular girl, woman. She'd walk around with them weights, come up by the road. She was raising them. She was building up her muscles. And she has some muscle, man. You wouldn't want to cross her in a dark alley no worse. She'd whoop most men, probably. I ain't seen her. He must have got rid of her. She probably whooped him. He got tired of that. I ain't seen him in a couple of years. Seen them together. But he's still... I seen him the other day. He's walking. But those athletes, when they run, they'll put weights on their feet. If you're in track, they'll put weights on their feet and they'll run. And then the day of the race, they take off those weights. And they've been carrying all that extra weight. And then they run a lot faster. Them Olympics, they strip down men to nothing. And they used to grease up themselves and where they'd slide through the wind. And no weight. No weights. I promise you, there's a lot of things that might be okay for you to do, but it's a weight in your life. We might not dogmatically say it's sin, but I promise you, there's a lot of things that are weights, and people's looking at a lot of people's lives. Saying, well, they're Christians. Why are they doing that? There are some doubtful disputations if you go over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I believe it is, and maybe in Romans chapter somewhere in there, 14 or something. Them doubtful disputations. They might not be sin, but they might cause someone else to stumble. Everybody's responsible for the fire. The pastor's not the only one that's responsible for the fire, by the way. Every member, deacons, deacons' wives, Sunday school teachers, lay members, youth, the choir, if you got a choir, I believe they ought to be responsible for the fire. We ought to be fueling and fanning. You ever tried to get a fan? We used to have a wood heater in the house, and we still got one in the basement. Don't hardly ever build a fire. It's too much effort to build a fire. I have to carry the wood in. I have to get up kindling. I have to get it started. Besides that, we ain't had a cold enough winter to have a fire lately. But I used to, when the kids was little, and we had a fire, a freestanding stove. And I'd get up and I'd build that fire and I was lazy. I wouldn't get that kindling. I wouldn't want to go out and get some little stuff. I'd get that big stuff, Miss Ruby, and I'd put in there and pretty good size. And I'd get the fire going. I'd get the hair dryer. I'd cheat. I'd get the hair dryer and I'd open those little air ducts and I'd get down there and I'd blow on that fire. Man, that thing get to roaring. It'd get to rolling. So I'd take the hair dryer away. A little while, it'd start dying down again. Why? I had too much big wood in there. But we had to fan the fire some to get it going. That's why you need kindling wood. That's why these young people need to be fired up. We can get them on fire. We can get them burning. And then we got them backlogs on the backside. Hey, if you ever get them backlogs burning, you got a fire all night. I used to load that heater down in the evening, right before we'd go to bed. And I'd get the biggest and some of them round logs that hadn't been busted, and I'd put them in there when the fire was going real good. Next morning, I'd get up. Bro Keith, there'd be some coals down in there. And usually, I could rake them coals up, and I could throw in a few sticks. Next thing you know, I'd have a good fire going. Well, we need everybody's responsible for the fire. Hey, you can downplay this thing all you want to. Hey, if you belong to God and you're a Christian, you're responsible for the fire of God in your church. If we're ever going to see God do anything, we're going to have to get the fire burning in our lives, in our homes, in our church. We're going to have to get the young people fired up. We're going to have to get the middle-aged people fired up. The trouble with kindling wood, though, and if you look the history of revival, if you look at all those revivals, God always began to work. He'd work through some of them young people. But there was always them backlogs that was burning. And them kindling wood, it burns up real fast. But a lot of times God starts with young people. But it takes all people. It takes young people. A lot of people are trying to build ministries on young people. Hey, it gets all fired up, and next thing you know, it fizzles out. You got to have them middle-aged folks. You got to have them backlogs. I mean, you backlogs. Chris is a middle-aged guy, so now. Jeff's a young guy. It takes them all. And these are really young guys. Hey, they get fired up one week, next week they'll be cold. If you're not careful, they get involved in things of the world. I know, I done been there. You might as well shake your head. Hey, man, you're right, preacher. Even after you get on up middle age, you get careful. We get caught up hunting and fishing, sports, working. We want things, don't we? We want a lot of things. Most of us got too many things. Our things are hindering us. We're so tied down to this world, we can't get fired up. We can't get the fire burning hardly. So everybody's responsible for the fire. We see the resources of the fire. We need to bring something to throw on the fire this morning. We need to bring some prayer. Hey, I wonder how much we pray. I'm preaching to all of us this morning. How much do we pray? We need to bring some prayer and throw on that fire. It's got to begin at home. It's got to begin in the secret place. The Bible said if we pray in secret, the Lord would reward us openly. I believe we'd get earnest about this thing, getting on fire for God, and begin to pray and seek God's will, seek God's direction. I believe we'd see the fire begin to flame. Everyone needs to bring some prayer. Everyone needs to bring some praise. We preached last week, I believe, on Sunday morning on a call to praise. I believe God, the Bible says God inhabits the praise of Israel. Of His people. I believe God wants us to praise Him. I believe He wants us to come in here in a right attitude of worship and worship Him in spirit and truth. And I believe He wants us to praise Him in the right way. We ought to come in looking for God to do something. We ought to come in praising Him, thanking Him for the opportunity we have to be in God's house. Instead of looking for an excuse to stay at home. Everyone can bring some prayer. Everyone can bring some praise. Everyone can bring some purpose. We need some purpose thrown on the fire every once in a while. Hey, everyone can bring some people. I was just sitting up here thinking a while ago, we need to have a friend and family day. Friend and family day. I believe we could fill up this house. I would like to see what 20-something of us, as members of Open Door Baptist Church, I'd like to see what we could do on a special day, a friend, bring a friend or family day. And don't drag somebody out of their church either. That's why I get a sour taste in my mouth for friend and family day, because they'll pull from my church or your or somebody else's church and try to bring to their church. And then that pastor, he's wondering, well, where's my family's at? Oh, they're over here at friend and family day. We got enough friends and family that's not in church to not have to entice someone out of. It's easy to get somebody that goes to church to come to church. Yeah, it's easier to get them people that go into church because they'll appease themselves and say, well, I was in church, I just wasn't in my church. And God dealt my heart about that back yonder. When I was up Zion Hill, we had friend family day. And people come from other people's church, and I got thinking, I thought, well, you know, it upset me if somebody got some of my members to come over friend and family day and say, we're going to feed you, and we're going to have a good big day, and we need your help. Well, the next Sunday, they're not there. But what about them that's not in church? They're not going anywhere. Them's family members and friends that we need to bring to church. Everyone can bring some people. I wonder if we really put forth the effort, how many people we could bring to church. If we really prayed up, brought some prayer, brought some praise, threw it on fire, brought a little purpose in this matter of worship and serving God, and then bring some people, I wonder what happened. I believe we'd see God do some things. I believe we could see them fill up some pews, empty pews. But no, we won't dwell on them that's already gone and they've left and they went somewhere else or they're not going to church. A lot of them ain't going to church this morning. They've quit on God. There's a lot of people watching by way of internet probably this morning. Hey, they want to appease their conscious about getting involved in a worship service, and I'm not talking about some that can't come. I'm talking about those that could be in church. They've quit on God, and they're sitting at home watching the internet service somewhere, and they try to make themselves feel good about it. There may be some watching us this morning. They may have left here. They may be watching. They won't see what that preacher's going to say next. Well, they found out. They need to be in church. They need to be where God has planted them. And they'll never be right with God till they get in church. The Bible does say not forsaking the assembling themselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. It's right to go to church. You need church. I don't believe a person can be what they ought to be for God and not in church somewhere. And where God leads you away from one church, I believe He'll lead you to another church somewhere. I hate to see people leaving. Some people say, well, they look better going than they do coming. I've never said that. They just need to get their heart right instead of going, stay where they're at. A lot of them quit so they don't have tithe. So they can spend their money out on the lake or somewhere else or going to the mountains or going somewhere else. They get tired of it. Throw a little purpose on the fire. Bring some people. do what God wants us to do. Everyone can bring some people. Everyone can bring some plans. Hey, we ought to make plans. Plans. Like a friend and family day, that would be good. Maybe some other plan. Maybe you feel like you need to get out and visit a little bit. Well, get your partner. Get your partner. I've knocked a lot of doors in my time. I've seen a few people come. I've seen God honor it. We knocked almost every door in White County. There was a few that we didn't knock, I know, I'm sure. Because there's a lot of little old side roads and different things up there. It'd be hard to knock Hall County. But I'm telling you, as many churches as there are in Hall County, we ought have all together should have knocked every door probably. Wouldn't hurt us to visit there once in a while. They come to the door and say, hey, I'm from Open Door Baptist Church. We'd like to invite you to come over, be in service with us sometime. Now, I know a lot of people put notches on their belt, and I'm not in the belt notching business. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm for it. So, bring some plans, throw them fire. Say, preacher, I'd like to do this. And we'll look at the plan. I don't think there's nothing wrong with making plans. As long as we don't plan God out of it. The resources of the fire. We see the resistance in the fire. The resistance in the fire. Verse 3 said, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Hey, most of us would have got excited and we'd quit gathering sticks and we'd quit putting anything on the fire. We'd begin to resist that fire. We'd stay away from it. Some people won't put the fire out. Hey, them people's always moaning, complaining, grumbling about everything. It's not going their way. They want if the fire gets to burning, it seems like there's always somebody that wants to put the fire out. They don't want you to get too excited. They don't want services to get too out of you. We had a friend of mine, his wife, come up to Zion Hill one time, and she shouted. And I had one of the men there. He was deacon. He said something about that woman shout. I said, hey, I'm going to egg it on. If the Holy Ghost is moving and he's in it, and she shouts, hey, I'm gonna throw some fuel on the fire. I'm tired of these dead services. I like to see it real. I want to see it real now. We've learned how to do it in a lot of places. But I like it when it's real. I've heard a lot of shouting in my time. I grew up in them little country churches where they went for one purpose and one purpose only was to shout. I preached at a little old church up here in the mountains one night. Debbie probably know what I'm fixing to tell. And there's this man, I got preaching. It wasn't even place to really probably getting real excited. He got up and he began to shake like that. I told him, I said, I believe I could have popped him on the head and I believe he'd have fell out. Didn't bother me none. Hey, he come. Brother Shook come to worship. And when you come to worship, it don't matter where the preaching's at. You can worship. You can worship. Yeah, I always wished I'd have just... They said I done went charismatic. Done slaying them in the spirit. But we need to come. Expecting God to do something. There's a lot of wet blankets in church. When we had revival in 93, they said there's wildfire. over at Harmony Street. They had a lot of people come just to see what was going on. But the parking lot was full every night. Some people won't put the fire out. Some churches want to have revival, and then there's some churches that don't want to have revival. They're afraid if they have revival and God moves, they might have to get involved in putting something on fire, getting something out of their life to put on the fire. There's the ministry of wet blankets. Don't be a wet blanket. Don't be critical. Hey, just because you're not sensing and feeling what somebody else is feeling, don't be critical of them. Just like that man was critical of that lady that shouted that day. Well, people get like that, they get in a mess. Just like David come into the city of David, he brought the Ark of God. He was excited, man. He was damn, I don't know what. He was excited. He was jumping around. And Micah said, wasn't the king glorious today? He said, uncovering himself before all the people. And he wasn't immodest. He was just showing his excitement for having the presence of God, bringing it into the city of David. And Micah, she said, she made fun of David. Said, wasn't the king glorious today? You know what the Bible said? The Bible said that God shut up her womb. I wonder if the reason a lot of churches ain't seeing nobody saved, I wonder if they've provoked God in this matter of worship, been critical of worship, and God shut up their womb. It can happen. There's Ichabod wrote over a lot of doors around the country today. The glory has departed. Micah, you know, it was an honor to have a child back that day to an Israelite woman. She never had no children. Bob said, God shut up her womb. Flame the fire for those that want to serve God. Fan the fire and fuel the fire. Just keep the fire going. Get the fire going. Then we'll see the real test of the fire. Verse 3, 4, and 5. When the fire gets to burning, I'll tell you what happens. The devil shows up. They had the fire going. Paul gathered that wood, threw that wood in that fire, and that serpent come out and latched on his hand. Hey, I've seen that happen around here. Since I've been here, I've seen that happen. The fire began to burn a little bit, and God began to move a little bit, and the devil stick his head up. We see the presence of the serpent. He was there. He's around today. He's around Open Door today still. He's trying to hinder because he don't want us doing nothing. He don't want the parking lot full. He don't want people getting saved. He don't want to see people getting help. So that's the presence of the serpent. The purpose of the serpent is to hinder. And then we see the power of the serpent. He had no power. Only to those that let him. Paul, even though that venomous beast had latched on his hand, he just shook him off in the fire and just went on about his way. Hey, he don't have to have no power over you. The Bible talks about the wiles of the devil. We know what he's doing and we know how he operates. He's always looking for that weak one. He's looking for that critical one. You can be used to the devil if you allow him to use you. Or you can, as I tell my friend of mine sometimes, I say, just suck it up, man, and go on. If you let the devil, he'll hinder you. The Bible said, laying aside every weight and the sin. If you let things hinder you, the Bible tells you how to conduct your life, how to live. It'll tell you how to handle situations in your life. If we're mature Christians, we ought to be able to deal with things when they come up. We ought to be the bigger person sometimes when maybe something comes against you. Hey, deal with it. Be the bigger person. Forbear one with another is what the Bible says. Hey, we're all made up of the same stinking stuff. I said this, and you might disagree with me. I get sick of hearing people say, I got hurt in church. I never hear them say, I got hurt on job, or I got hurt down there at Walmart. They hurt my feelings, I ain't going back. Now I boycotted some places. It ain't because I got my feelings hurt, it's because I got mad. I've never got my feelings hurt in church. Honestly, honest before God, as far as I know, I have never got my feelings hurt in church. I've never got hurt at preaching. I've got mad a few times, but I ain't ever got hurt. I ain't got mad enough to quit. I like hard preaching. Hard preaching, happy. Like Brother Sammy, you say, he said, sometimes it's like a surgeon. You got to hurt people to help them. He said, but tell me the truth. These preachers that just skip around and don't never preach against nothing, and it's always everything's hunky-dory, God is love. They don't never talk about the wrath of God and the judgment of God and the dealing of God. It's all about how much He loves us. We just ought to love one another, and we should love one another. But get your feelings off your shoulders, and you won't get hurt. Don't care a chip on your shoulder and it won't get knocked off. Of course, we all get aggravated, people. Because we're people. God told me, you got people, you got problems. And you do. And some of them, you got more problems than you do with others. Some of them are very needy. Some of them will just go on down yonder to another place. They'll make the circuit. You watch them. You watch them. They'll get their feelings hurt down yonder too. One of these days, if a preacher's preaching, he's going to cross them. I'm trying to think about when I got mad at the preacher last time. It's been a long time. It's been so long I forgot about it. One time after we joined Harmony Street, we hadn't been going long. We hadn't been going there long. We'd belonged to Old Faith. Brother Willard, he began to talk about, he had a big plan, and he did it. Building on over the church that was there, and they put a big roof on it. Made another sanctuary. He was telling me all his plans. And I said, well, preacher, you're catching me a bad time. I said, hunting season fixed to start. I'm a deer hunter, and I'm going to hunt. Well, I'm just being honest. He brought in a guy from up north, and he preached, and he got to preaching. And it sounded like Brother Willard had told him that he need to preach to me. I got a little upset, just to be honest with you. I didn't quit. But you know what I did, Todd? Before it was all over with, I laid aside the deer hunting that year. And I got up on that roof. And I nailed nails. I did plumbing. I did floors. I did whatever I could do. I got over it. He wasn't preaching to me. I mean, he was preaching to me, but Brother Willard didn't tell him. He just knew people. And God the Holy Ghost told him. You know what I could have done? I could have quit then. And I wouldn't have experienced that revival of 93. And I wouldn't be here today. I might not have been nowhere. But I let it go. I let that deer hunting go that year. I hunted a few days, but not many. And I'm glad I did. I'm glad I was involved in it. They've lost that church. They've lost that church. Somebody else is in it. I think a Hispanic church is in it. I hope they're preaching the truth. Because we put a lot of sweat and blood in that thing. But you know what causes stuff like that? Poor management sometimes. Boarding with too big of an auger. You know, God give us common sense how to handle finances. I'm going to tell you, this debt needs to be paid off here. Because it could get down. It could get down where it's hard to pay for. Them hard times come, this thing's up for renewal again. 3 years. I thought it would be 5 years, and it's 3 years. But hey, there's a whole lot less this time than was last time. God expects us to be good stewards. Do what we can. Let's get on fire. Let's get on fire. The devil don't want us to do nothing. He don't want us to pay off notes. He don't want us to win people to God most of all. He had no power. You may get attacked and beat up, but keep fueling, fanning the fire. We still have that old-time power from heaven, and we need it. And we're going to need it more in the days to come. Come on, Miss Tina. I preached long enough this morning. I told you, I don't even remember. I've got messages I've preached over and over before, but I don't know what I preached last time about this. I know I went probably in a different direction because I had a different introduction, I know, this morning. I might have had some of the same points, but I think we needed that. We need fire this morning. We need the fire of God if we're going to see sinners moved in this cold, callous, permissive, perverted world that we're living in today. It's going to take the fire of God. Let's all stand while she plays. If you need to pray, the altar's open. If you're here lost this morning and you've never been saved, it'd be a good time to come. I promise you on the authority of that King James Bible, the Bible says if you'll come, He'll save you. He said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."